Morning to everyone gathered here at Union Church this morning. There's a lot of things that could have hindered you not to be here. Thank God it didn't, and I'm happy to see you. I apologize for running a little late this morning. I had a little car trouble myself. I had a little tire trouble, but the Lord saw fit to bless me that it didn't take too long and I was able to come on. And I tell you what, I couldn't be happier to be here today. Worship the Lord Jesus Christ with those that He loved. Thinking about the things that hinder us is what is on my mind this morning. And there's a lot of things that can hinder us. Mostly what hinders us is sin. And that's been since day one, since Adam fell. Sin has been a hindrance to God's people. If you will, this morning, turn with me to Judges in chapter 2. And we'll find in chapter 2 that the children of Israel have gone on to the land promised, Canaan's land. They've gathered in the promised land that the Lord had promised. But in chapter 2, we find that they didn't do right in the sight of God. And we start in chapter 2 in verse 1, and it says, "And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim. And I said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man into his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnathers, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gesh. And also all that generation were gathered under their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam, and they forsook the Lord their God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so they could not any longer stand before their enemies." Now, when we read that, you might say, well, that's pretty harsh. I want you to understand, the Lord had commanded the children of Israel to drive these people out. To understand why He wanted to drive them out, you've got to understand what the promised land God intended for these children of Israel to be. When you think about this land, just from a geographical standpoint, you look at this land. The promised land was bordered on the side by the sea, by the Mediterranean Sea. It was bordered to the north by mountains. It was bordered to the east and south by deserts. This land was supposed to be a place, a haven for the children of God. It was supposed to be a nation dedicated to serving God. God had set it up to be a place that was protected. But there was these there that needed to be driven out. God called them thorns. You know, Brother Gary Ball preached us a good sermon about thorns a while back. You know, those thorns represent sin, and we know how that came into sin. See, these thorns were, these people were thorns in the side of the children of Israel. See, God knew that the children of Israel were prone to idolatry. Before Moses could even get out of the mountain, they had already built a golden calf down there. And that's why He told them to drive these people out, because it was going to be a thorn in their side. You know what thorns do? They prevent you with your walk from God. It prevents you from having a peaceful walk with God. That's what sin does. That's what thorns do, just from a physical standpoint. You go walk out in this yard and you step on a thorn, I tell you what, it turns a peaceful walk into a hurtful walk really fast. That's what sin does. That's what these people are going to do, the children of Israel. This promised land was supposed to be a place dedicated to God, where the children of Israel could serve God in peace. And he commanded them. He commanded them to drive these people out. But they didn't do that. They didn't listen to God. And what happened? It says it spoiled them. It says it spoiled them. You know, that's what sin does with our walk with God. It spoils our walk with God. This is good advice, just not from the nation of Israel. I tell you what, child of God, you need to drive sin out of your life. Those things that hinder you from serving God, we need to put them aside. We need to drive them out utterly. You know, if you leave one thorn somewhere, other thorns will grow. You got to get rid of those thorns. How do we get rid of those thorns? How do we make a peaceful walk with God? You know, just from the nation of Israel, if they would have driven them out, God has set up a land with protections round about it that would have kept them from coming back in. But they didn't drive them out. They left the thorns there, so the thorns stayed with them. And God said, since you sinned, I'm going to leave the thorns there to be a thorn in your sides. I want you to know God has given us protections. You know, we talked about the full armor of God a while back. We went through that. Let's go look at it. I was going to paraphrase, but I don't think we want to do that this morning. I want to talk to you about the protections that keep us from the thorns. If you will, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. And we just want to read this one more time. In Ephesians chapter 6. In verse 16, we'll start with verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. You got your breastplate on, you've got your front covered. It says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know what shod means? It means shoed. It means you got shoes on. You got shoes of the gospel of peace on. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, you think about that promised land that God had for them. It was guarded by all these natural protections on each side. God has given us some spiritual protections. He's given us our armor. It says we're supposed to have the breastplate of righteousness. We're supposed to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, the shield of faith, wherewithal you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You've got some defenses. You know, as I read this, you know, I was looking at this again. I said, you know, that got most of our front covered. I said, I didn't see nothing for the backside. I'll tell you what, you got all this on the front side. I tell you, God's got your back. You don't worry about the backside. As I was thinking about that, I said, the front side. You know, when we think about the church of God, God said when he set it up that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Now, Brother James pointed that out one time that I had never thought about it, but it talks about the gates of hell. Now, if you assume that the gates of hell, then the army of God, the church of God, is an advancing army, a conquering army. It doesn't say the army of hell shall prevail against the gates of heaven, or the kingdom of heaven. It says the gates of hell should not prevail against the church of God. When you think about that, we're an advancing army. If you're advancing, there's nothing behind you. If you're advancing, you're a conquering armor. This Bible tells we are more than conquerors through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I remember one time I had my chef jacket, and I like to put the American flag on the side of my chef jacket. And when I got it back from the embroiderer company, I looked at it and I said, well, they got my flag on backwards. You know, when I looked at it, I expected stars and stripes to be on the left and that right when I looked at it. But when you look at it on your sleeve, it's opposite. And I almost took it back and said, y'all got my flag on backwards. Then I said, you know what, maybe I'm wrong. So I looked up, you know, on the United States Army, on the military's uniform, that's the way the flag's supposed to face. Because it represents an advancing army.
The United States Army didn't retreat. When you talk about those Marines, we don't retreat. I tell you what, the armor of God, the army of God, we don't retreat because we have the victory. We have been, we are more than conquerors. When you think about all this stuff, this front protection, I want you to know we will be victorious. The God's got our back and we have the victory. But I'd like to draw a little more attention down to that part where it says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Now, when you think about your feet, and we're talking about thorns, what you need to have on your feet to protect you against thorns? If you got shoes, you got some protection on your feet from thorns. But not only that, you think about the, it says feet shod, shod with the gospel of peace. It's not only refers to the protection, but where your feet are supposed to go, what ways we're supposed to walk. If you got the gospel of peace, you know, as a child of God, how you're supposed to walk. As a child of God, you know the best way not to step on a thorn is not walk where there are thorns. And this Bible tells us where to walk, how to walk. When we follow this, I want you to know we're walking where there isn't sin. We're following after the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, sir, it protects us from the thorns, but I tell you what, it'll tell you where to go where you ain't got to walk on thorns. I tell you what, that's good advice for the child of God. Yes, sir. Hold on to those protections that you have. Listen to this gospel of peace. Have it shoed on your feet so that you know the way is to walk. You won't be walking on thorns. You know, back in there it says that this generation didn't listen to their fathers. They didn't walk in the ways that their fathers told them to walk. They didn't walk in the ways of God. They didn't keep His commandments. And they ended up in thorns. Oh. If God's children would just listen to their father, they'd save themselves a whole lot of heartache in this life. Let's look at that. If you turn to Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to see Solomon gives advice to his sons. Chapter 4 of Proverbs, Solomon says, "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of the mother, of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live." When we keep the commandments of God, that's what you got. You got life. The child of God has life and he's able to live. You're supposed to live by the commandments of God. If we listen to our Father, there's life in His words. Later on in verse 26 of this same chapter, and starting in verse 25, "Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left, and remove thy foot from evil." Verse 26, it says we're supposed to ponder the path that we're taking. We're supposed to ponder the path, and let those ways be established. Well, if you're going to be established, you need to be established in the Word of God. You need to be established in His ways. You need to have your feet established on the solid rock, on the cornerstone of Jesus Christ, doing what He commanded. This Bible tells me, happy are you if you do these things. Happy are you. If you love me, follow my commandments. Keep my commandments. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ, because in His commandments is life for the child of God. If you follow His commandments and walk in the ways that He would have you walk, I want you to know it's going to keep you from them thorns. It's going to keep you from sin. It's not going to make you go to home, heaven, and mortal glory. But I'll tell you what, it'll make your home here a lot better while we live. It'll make your life a lot better. It'll make your walk with God a lot more peaceful. It'll make it a lot more comfortable. Not from a worldly stance, but from a spiritual stance. You'll have that peace that only God can give. But it says, ponder the path of thy feet. You're supposed to think about it. You're supposed to think about these things. When you think about being shod with the gospel, having your feet on with the gospel of peace, you're supposed to spend some time reading this gospel. You're supposed to know what it says. You're supposed to have your shoes on. It says ponder. You know, I remember one time, not one time, we did it a lot. But over here on this old farm, over here on the hill, I remember I got enough of the farm. I didn't grow up on a farm, you know. But I got enough of it just to appreciate what my cousins had to go through. And I remember when I would stay with Papa, we would turn the cows across from the ryegrass field. And in that narrow spot on that other side of the field, where the cows had to all congregate and come together to get into the other field, I tell you what, there was a load of manure there. When they came off of that ryegrass, they let it go right there. I tell you what, if you would follow those cows on up, when you walked through that part of the field, you had to think about where you stepped. If you didn't, you stepped in it. I tell you what, if you don't think about how you walk in this life, you're going to step in it sometimes. You're going to step in it. But if you know the ways to walk, if you think on these things, how God has made you walk, you won't step in it near as much, I guarantee you. It says, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not the right hand, nor to the left. And then it says, remove thy foot from evil. Now, if you step in it, don't just leave it there. How many of you, if you stepped in a cow pie, you're going to leave your foot there? I tell you what, if I step in it, I'm taking it out. Chances are in this life, you're going to step in it every once in a while, but don't leave your foot there. It says, remove thy foot from evil. And if you've established your ways, if you think on these things, think on the ways that God would have you walk. If you got your feet shod with the gospel of peace, I want you to know you're going to know how to walk. It's going to prevent you from stepping in it a lot more, I guarantee you. You know, as I thought on these things, it says to think on your past. Think on where you're walking. You know, it says to think on it. Because, you know, sometimes, just off of, you know, first impressions, you can think you're doing the work of God or the will of God. But if you go off half-cocked, it might not necessarily, if you go off half-cocked and don't wait on the God and don't ponder on these things, you can end up doing something you never intended. You can have all the good intentions of the world, but if you don't ponder, you don't think on these things, and you don't know the path that God would have you walk, if you don't pray on it, it can do some damage. If you will, turn with me, and it happens to all of us. It happens, I would say, to some of the best of us. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 52, we find out that Peter thought he was doing something good. In verse 51, it says, "And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, and struck a servant of the high priest, and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be?" You know, Peter thought he was doing something good. He thought he was protecting his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. From the account in Luke, we'll see that some of the apostles said, asked, "Master, shall we smite with the sword?" And before any record I can have, before Jesus could answer, Peter took out his sword and smote off his ear. Peter didn't wait on the Lord to give an answer. He acted. But he thought he was doing something good. He thought he was doing something good. He thought he was protecting the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus said, "Now, Peter," says, "put up again thy sword into its place, for all thee that take the sword shall perish with the sword." You know, sometimes the thing we think we're doing good is what's going to destroy us. You know, when I was reading this week, I thought about this boy over in Kenosha that armed himself with an AR-15, thought he was doing something real good. Thought he was doing something real good. And that boy, I believe, had good intentions. But he has ruined his life now. Or at least for the foreseeable future. He thought he was doing something good. I tell you what, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. That boy was living by the gun. He almost died by the gun. We need to make sure that the ways that we're walking in are God's ways and not our own ways.
They could be the best intentions. That's why we need to think about the things that we do. We need to ponder, pray, study, that our ways may be established, that we're doing the will of God and not the will of our own. I thank you for your good attention this morning. Come on, Brother James.